Even if the Word of God says God loves you, we're challenged to like receive that. So everything we hear from the Word of God is a challenge, but it's in a good sense, because I was just talking to someone earlier in the kitchen that like we have corrupted files in our brain. I said that's a good seed thought for a message, and like we might have trouble like remembering people's names because maybe our files are full, but we come to church to get rid of the corrupted files, the files from the old sin nature that, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter how long we've been Christians, those corrupted files try to, you know, manifest themselves. And I take comfort in knowing that Paul was an apostle for about 30 years when he was having his Roman 7 experience. So I take comfort in that, that first of all, there is victory, and, you know, we have this battle as we go on. But hey, we can live in joy and victory as we experience life. I want to turn to like the Genesis chapter 37. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. Your presence is amazing, Lord. Your heart towards us, the people that reveal your love to us, God, we thank you for it all. Bless these few minutes, God, and our time here. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Like one thing that has been on my mind a lot since the conference in Baltimore is that, God loves people. You know, like a simple thought like that, that God loves people, and he's loved us and changed us so that he could use us to love the people that he loves. And I think that makes evangelism easier. I think it makes being a missionary easier, like thinking that I'm just being sent to love people that God loves. And we see people everywhere, and like that thought comes to us. I was reading here in Genesis 37 when Jacob wanted Joseph to find his brother. And in verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock and Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. You know, a picture of the Father sending Christ to those that he loves. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. Like, isn't that so true? Like, how, like, God cares about people. And I try to, I mean, when we're talking to people, whether it's in the street or whether it's work or whether it's at the gym, I just found out today that the Vosses are in a church because he met Pastor Schaller at the gym one day. And I'm sure Pastor Shella said, this guy Dave is someone who God loves, and God cares about Dave. So we share that. And to get that message across to people, like there's a creator God that personally cares about you. We see so often that people are going through some crazy things, aren't they? It's like crazy. You meet people and you think you've heard it all, then you meet someone who has an even crazier thing going on in their lives. Or it could just be, you know, struggle in relationships, you know, a lack of love, a lack of agape, And all the problems that that causes. And it's so evident. But God cares. And he sent Joseph to find his brother because Jacob wanted to know if they were well. And a certain man found him in verse 15, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and a man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." You know, and that's so precious to us. Like, what are you seeking? "I seek my brethren." I'm seeking people that God cares about. We're seeking people that God loves. Well, we're so excited for the Hewletts and the plans and God's plan to love people through them back in Albania and the Balkans and beyond. And when we think about people going out, you know, we also think about, you know, our own lives. It's like, what does God want with us? Like, where are we at in our walk with God in this present time? You know, what kind of decisions are we making? And it's easy to, you know, bring it right into the natural realm. Oh, like, what should we do? Like, my house, like, should we sell it? Should we keep it? You know, I was talking to, you know, Ron this morning. It's like, you know, we're kind of praying about what we should do. You know, it's time to downsize, and we have family living in different places. Like, we have our grandkids in Las Vegas, and his grandkids are in California. But, you know, it's like we go to God with these decisions, and we trust God that, and we seek God for that direction. And it's like we live our lives in waking up with God and talking with God and wanting to know his will for our lives and wanting to know, like, Lord, where would you want to plant us to love people that you love? To give them the message of hope. I was thinking of Isaiah chapter 53, which just says simply that he bore our griefs. He bore our griefs. And he wants to reach people to tell them that their sins have been taken away, that they've been pardoned, they've been forgiven of all offenses. It's like, how burdened are people? Like, burdened by those corrupt files that we were mentioning earlier. Like, burdened by the corrupt files of guilt. Burdened by corrupt files of, like, just sensing that there's no connection between you and God. And seeking answers for your life in all the wrong places. we've done that. And, like, we're here today because we sought in the wrong places. God still loved us. He sought after us. He sent people to tell us that he cared about us. And he sent missionaries, evangelists, just a friend maybe, a neighbor. And we're here today because we didn't find answers in those places. I like telling people, you know, if my life was so good before I came to Christ, I'd still be doing those things, you know, and we're not doing those things because that life wasn't good. That life was not good. But imagine, like, hearing that all your offenses have been removed. Imagine hearing that God, through Christ, paid for your sins, and you can be considered not guilty of any offense, and that you could actually be set free to have a relationship with God, to be set free from your life before Christ, the bondage, to be set free to worship God. Isn't that a great thing? We're set free to worship God. We're set free to follow Him. We're set free to serve Him. And like all the people that were serving this morning, I didn't see one person who was like burdened by serving. It was a joy. It really was. So God, just think of that God wants to send us with a message. He will send us to seek people that He cares about, to seek people that He loves. And, you know, in order to do that, we just make sure that we're continually being built up in that love ourselves, and that we're being lovingly challenged to live in truth. One challenge that I got not too long ago was listening to an old Pastor Stevens message, and he said, read the Gospels and compare your life with the way the disciples lived with Jesus and see how it lines up. I said, wow. There's still, I think, in our lives, there can still be a lot of self-seeking, a lot of self-life in our walk with God. But as we are walking, God is always lovingly and graciously prodding us to leave the self-life and to walk with Him, and just to seek Him and just like ask Him for His will. Lord, we want Your will today. Not my will be done, but Your will be done. And show me, Lord, who You want me to love today. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord. Lord, as we consider our lives and we walk before You and we seek Your plan, we bathe in Your love, God. You're still changing us from glory to glory. And God, you've got us in a good place. We're in the body of Christ. We have Your presence, God. So just continue, Lord, the work that You began in us. And Father, use us to reach the lost, to win souls, to pray about our futures, because our futures are in Your hands and in Your plan, Lord. Thank You, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We went, you know, Remo was there, Michelle was there, and Dave and Marina were there. And we had a great week in Shkodra. And then we went into Ulcin. Ulcin, it's a city, it's in Montenegro, but it's an Albanian city in Montenegro. They speak Albanian, many Albanians there. If you ask anybody that lives there what nationality they are, they'll say Albanian. Even if they've lived in that area their whole lives, it's the borders in that area of the world are very different. It doesn't go by ethnicity. So there's a lot of Albanians in Montenegro, and many wars have happened in Kosovo and other areas because of that. So we went to Ulcin, and it was a wonderful time. We saw souls get saved. We met a girl, Aimona, selling candy in one of the markets, and Vero said that she's our Lydia. She was ready for something. She wanted to be a part of anything that we were doing, but we left. And I know Vero has her contact. From there, we went into Sarajevo, and I know my dad mentioned it last night that it was a very different city. I never witnessed anything like that firsthand. Some of the buildings had the bullet holes on them. Some of them were up near where the snipers were, and then some were just spread across the bottom of the buildings where they would set people up on the sides of the buildings. It was genocide. And then you'd see the mortar shells in some of the buildings if it didn't cause a structural issue with the building. But we saw people receptive and ready for the gospel. And we saw people that have never heard it, actually going into areas of the world where people have never heard the love of Christ. They've never heard the true message. They know maybe Jesus from the Quran, Isa, right? But they never heard of Christ. And we saw people receptive and fertile hearts there. So the Lord confirmed it. I came back from that trip. We prayed on it more. And since then, we've been making steps ready to go back. My father's been here for the past year, and now he'll be returning in August, and we'll be joining him in October. The work now is going to be, we're going to be in Shkodra. The church is in Tirana. We're going to be working in Shkodra with a vision to plant there, but also work into Ulcin, which is Albanian, an Albanian city of Montenegro. Podgorica, that's Montenegrin, very Orthodox there. And then an area that I have a heart for is this area up here in this little knob of Montenegro. It's called the Sanjak region. There are majority Bosnians there. It's a Bosniak population, unreached with the gospel, like 2 to 3 tenths of a percent of the population is reached in that area. So we're praying, and the vision and the hope is to work into there. There's a little road that goes from Shkodra right into, this area is called Plav, and then into the mountains from there. So if you could please pray for Plav, Montenegro, if you think of it. Pray for that region. And pray that, you know, like this is a work of grace, that that wherever the Lord wills, you know, that we would go and that there would be simplicity in the gospel. So that's kind of the vision, the heart, some of the thoughts that on this move. So please continue to pray for us, pray for the family. Sandy's going to be continuing to homeschool this year, using a new curriculum that's kind of a free online curriculum. But Sandy's a very gifted, one of the most gifted teachers I've met. So I'm not just saying that, but she's really gifted. So please pray for us. So now we'll open the word for the next few minutes. Father, bless this time in your word. Lord, Father, thank you for what you've heard. Thank you for sending us to people that you love, Lord. Sending us to people that you love, Lord. Simple, God. Bless this time. Bless this time, Father. Anoint it. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for just the great time of fellowship we've had so far. Lord, continue to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. A thought that I had, because we can look at missions and look at the worldwide vision. You know, part of Greater Grace World Outreach, and like so many nations and countries and churches, and it can get complex. And we can kind of do that with our lives in Christianity, like look at following Christ and serving Christ, and it can get very complex. And our schedules get full, and we're just kind of running around to kind of fill time. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard, it says, "But I am afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity in Christ." I'm thinking about the simplicity in Christ, you know, that this is, our lives are complex, but it's not complex. Like, we have religion and like the things that we can do and we can kind of work our minds up, but really it's very, very simple. This life in Christ is very simple, and it's that we would simply believe, simply follow, and simply go. You know, so as we're here in Malta, we simply follow Christ and we simply believe in him and we simply go when he says to go. And that translates onto the mission field, like in the missions, that nothing that we do is in and of ourselves. It's not like we're working up a work. It's not like we're trying to accomplish this great, yes, I will, you know, like Hudson Taylor, China Inland Missions, I will reach the unreached. But it's simply going to where going to people that God loves, telling them that God loves them, and just operating in his grace. And it's very simple. And I don't mean to overly simplify it, because you know, a lot goes on, but in its core, it's so simple. Turn to John chapter 6. I was thinking that, and we mentioned this in Broad Alban last week. In John 6, you have the people, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and the people follow him, and, oh, Lord, where did you come from, right? They have this thought, and they want to know. Jesus says in verse 27, don't work for the food that perishes. And then in verse 28, they said, okay, then what can we do? What is this work that we must work, right? Like, what is the, they said to him, what shall we do that we may see, that we may work the works of God? And the Jewish mindset was always like this. It was so complex. It was so full. Now, just tell us all of the rituals that we have to do. Tell us what we can do to work the works of God. And Jesus said, no, there is a work that you would believe. It's not complex. You don't have to try to reason this out, to calculate this out. You don't have to offer up all these sacrifices and do all this stuff to see the work of God. It is work singular, belief. It is simply belief. And this is our life. That initially, when we come to Christ, we don't have to do everything to come to him. We simply believe the work of God. And we trust him and we believe him. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed, and we heard that in Genesis yesterday, that he simply believed. The Lord said, go, and he believed. Yes, Lord, I believe you. And then once we believe, and we simply follow. So we go from belief, simply believing, the work of God, simply believe. And then Jesus, all throughout the gospel, says, follow me. And we make this so complex in our own lives when we, you know, like that's, how can it be that easy? You know, how can it be so easy? Oh, what do you mean just follow you? And we, Jesus had a lot of thoughts about that. No, like, I have all this stuff. I have this rich stuff to the rich young ruler. I have so many possessions. And Jesus says, no, follow me. Like, stop it. Don't think about that. Simply follow me. Simply believe me. Simply follow me. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Like, it's just very simple. And we look to Christ and we follow him. And that's why we are here on a Saturday afternoon, right? And that's why we're in fellowship. And we want to follow Christ with other believers. We learn the Bible because we want to follow Christ. We don't learn it to try to, you know, to learn all the Greek tenses and the aorist participle and all that fun stuff. We learn it because we want to know Christ. The reason why we learn all those tenses is because we want to know what the Word of God is saying, because we want to know Christ. And we simply follow him there. We follow him in his Word. He says, here I am in his Word, follow me. And we follow him. And, you know, that's throughout. And in John chapter 21, we see Jesus talking to Peter right after the restoration. And he tells Peter how he will die. And he says, no, now you follow me. And Peter says, no, but what about him? Right? Let's talk about this a little bit. I want to calculate this. It has to be, let's talk. And, no, follow me. You follow thou me, right? In John chapter 21, simply follow. So we simply believe, simply follow. And then as we follow, we get led to go. You know, so we're going to be leaving in October, but and that's to another country. But we're also called, and we're going to be doing some outreach here in a little bit in Saratoga and Malta. We're called to go here. We were called to go. And we're all called to go. And I read a statistic recently from, I think it was a Barna poll that said almost 60% of all Christians think evangelism is optional. They think that you don't have to evangelize. And Jesus in Matthew 28:19, right, in 28:18-19, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. You know, and it's not that we are doing anything. And we see this, like Jesus said, follow me. But as we follow, he's the one that operates. You know, faithful is he who called us, who also will do it in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. As we follow, he operates. He does all the work. The work of God is just believe, and then he does all the work. As we go, he does all the work. In Matthew 28:19, in 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You know, and that's a commandment. Jesus gave the command to love, as we heard, but he gave the command to follow and to go. And when we go, we show people who God loves, that God loves them. And we tell them, and we lead them, and then we lead them to believe, follow, and go. And it's very simple. It's not complex. And our flesh is what makes it so complex. Our flesh kind of wars against it. Like, there has to be something more. I can't simply follow Christ. I can't simply go. And Jesus says, no, simply go. Just go. Just help. Just give the gospel. Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, right? To preach the gospel. There's power in the gospel. And as we heard last night, that what makes it so easy for us is that we are dead. That we are we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ and God. That we have a new birth. That we can operate in the Spirit. And this isn't this, there's works that are going on, but it's not really work. It's not really striving. It's all grace. That the Lord would call us to believe, to follow him, and then to go by his power, because all authority was given to him in heaven and in earth. So please pray for Montenegro, and pray for Albania, and pray for the flags that you see here, you know, and maybe God has called others to go, and to call others to follow and to serve. You know, I was looking at I didn't know much about Slovenia, and I wrote the bio for Slovenia, and I did a lot of research for it, and it's a majority atheist country at this point. It was one of the leaders in the Protestant Reformation, and then the Counter-Reformation kicked all the Protestants out, and now it looks like it's turning into a majority atheist nation, or New Age postmodern nation, and the growth rate of evangelical churches there is negative 0.2%. It's actually going down. And so, like, they're to pray for that nation and to say, like, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe God's calling. In Bosnia, who still very tore in that country, a lot of, like, the Orthodox Serb, Bosnian Serbs, and then the Bosnian Muslims. But to not make it complex, not make it complicated, to not argue when God says to follow him, you know, to be able to simply present our bodies a living sacrifice in Romans 12, to really come to the altar, and in spite of all of our objections in our flesh of why we can't follow Christ, to simply come and to simply follow and to simply present our bodies. And that's what we do, and that's how we train people. We heard yesterday on the evangelism and how we make disciples by just taking them on evangelism. And I am a firm believer in that we would love people, give them the gospel. And then as they believe and start to follow, we lead them. We just say, okay, you know, come with me. Just come and let's go on evangelism. And we see God work in lives that way. And I think I'll just close there. So I think it's supposed to end at 1. But to not make it complicated, and I think I made the point, that it's simply believe, follow, and go. And not to allow our flesh to intervene and to simply just follow Christ, to simply follow Christ. So, Father, bless these words, these thoughts this afternoon, Lord, the outreach, the evangelism, Lord. We ask for souls, Lord. We ask that you would simply lead people by your love, Lord. That's the simple gospel that you love them and you died for them, Lord. Help us to simply follow, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.